Kind Father, we come before you today. And Lord, as that song says, for many of us in the room today, we want to follow you. Lord, there might be some people here today that they're trying to figure out who you are. They're trying to discover you. And so, Lord, I just pray that today would be one more step toward experiencing your goodness and your presence in their life. And for those of us who know you, who have chosen to follow you, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to take the next step even today. And Lord, I just pray that plan would be so clear from your word today. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would show up. Lord, if you don't show up, none of this matters. So Lord, I just pray that you would lead us. And then Lord, give us the courage to follow what you've called us to do. We love you, Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So I gotta admit, okay, I'll just be transparent. So last night I practiced my message and it was way too long. And so I was like, I gotta cut some things out. So I worked really hard to trim. And this morning I practiced my message and it was kind of short. So I don't know what's gonna happen in the next 30 minutes. We're gonna discover together. It's gonna be an adventure. So here we go. So if you wanna follow along though, we're gonna be in Psalm 119 this morning, Psalm 119, as we are continuing our New Year's series, Charting the Course. You see, life, if you think about it, is kinda an endless path of one choice after the other. And so we wanna know how to make the best decision when there are so many different options in front of us. And you know, as I was working through things this week, I realized that by the end of this series, we will have compiled 7 questions to ask whenever we're facing a tough decision. So last week, we talked about the first question we should ask, which is this one: which option best honors God? Seek first his kingdom, chase after Jesus, and then all these things will be given to you. He's going to make your path straight. But let's be honest, sometimes we just don't know which path best honors God. So to better understand the first question, we got to then go on and ask the second question, which is this one: what does the Bible say about this? Guys, when you're in the middle of a big decision, have you ever even stopped to ask this question? Have I dug into the scriptures to see what ancient wisdom I might discover? Here's why I think you should ask this question. Number one, if you're taking notes, God's word is the first and best tool we have. Whenever I am just weighed down by a big decision, or if suddenly I see this new opportunity that's just opened up in front of me, or if I find myself that my heart is pulling me into something and I'm just not so sure if it's something I should even be involved in, opening God's word is the first, the primary, the very best resource I have to help me make a good decision. Because before I consider any other voice, I want to listen to God's voice. See, as a follower of Jesus, God's opinion matters more than any other opinion. So before I turn to Google or the, you know, news network of my choice or what all my friends have to say, I want to know first, what has my Heavenly Father already said on this subject? Okay, so if you found Psalm 119, Psalm 119 is actually the longest chapter in the entire Bible, and it's kind of like a love letter to God's word. It is just gushing with how wonderful and awesome and beautiful and useful and precious it is. So let's dive in at verse 97, Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. Basically, he's saying, I make better decisions than my teachers and the elders and even my enemies because I follow God's plan. Verse 101, I have kept my feet from every evil path that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, like honey from the rock. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Now guys, lean in and listen close. This verse, verse 105, this is so critical. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. You know, one time I saw an article on REI's website, and it was talking about the most essential pieces of equipment you need for your backpack, and a headlamp was actually in the top five most important tools to take with you when you go backpacking, and I would agree. A headlamp is pretty important, and not even just a flashlight, because I don't know if you've ever used a flashlight before, but man, when you're up in the middle of the woods, and you're like trying to set up the tent after dark, or cut up your food, or trying to find firewood or something like that, and you're trying to do all of it with your flashlight like stuck in your mouth, kind of like this, suddenly a headlamp is like, man, this is a brilliant idea. But I can remember quite well the very first time I climbed Cloud Peak years and years ago, way back when I was 16. It was the biggest hike I'd ever done before. And so, of course, we came in through West Tinsleep, and we base camped after the first day at Misty Moon, just like about everybody does. And the idea was we were going to go up to the summit and then back out and all the way back home on that second day. But the problem was some people in our group who shall remain nameless... We're kind of slow. So we were way behind schedule. And so by the time we were packed up and hiking out, it was dark. It was way after the sun had set. And so we were hiking out in pitch black in the middle of what felt like to me in the middle of nowhere. And especially with, man, when the trees are so tall and it just the in the middle, you know, far, far from the city, it just was so stinking dark out there. And I got to tell you, up until that moment in my life as a 16-year-old, a flashlight, I thought, was kind of helpful. It's good. As a 16-year-old, up until that point, it was almost like a toy. But in that moment, man, this was like an essential tool for survival. Because without that light, there was no way I could ever find the right path that would lead home. Now, here's the thing. The path didn't change. It was already there. It had already been right there long before I was born, leading to the right destination. I just couldn't see it. And yet, friends, when we are equipped with the right tool, which in that case was a light, a headlamp, or maybe in the ancient world, a blazing torch, suddenly that path, which had been so mysterious and hidden, becomes clear and solid. The word of God is a lamp to our feet. It is a light for our path. But also, you know, I was thinking about this and I realized a flashlight, or in the ancient world, an oil lamp, it does not, you know, like brightly illuminate the entire trail all the way home. No, no, no. It only shines like a few feet right in front of you. All you can see are the next couple steps you need to take. And so also, friends, I don't know if you figured this out yet, but none of us know the future. We don't know what's going to happen 10 years from now or 10 months from now or 10 days from now. But the Lord Almighty's unchanging word helps us to make wise, God-honoring choices today. And it clarifies and leads us in those critical decisions that lay right in front of us. Look at what the Apostle Paul writes to his young student, the pastor Timothy. He says this. He says, "From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." He says, "All Scripture is God-breathed." Let's pause on that for a moment. All Scripture is God-breathed. Guys, you need to understand right here, this is no ordinary book. This is not like some, you know, bestseller, you know, self-help book with some good advice in it. Beloved, this is the perfect and final revelation of the Almighty Creator of the universe. This is revelation. It reveals who God is. It reveals what God is like. It reveals what God wants for each and every one of us. It reveals the best path to a fruitful life on this earth and the only path to everlasting life in the next. It is God-breathed. God-breathed. Now that, again, that word in the original Greek, the word for breath and the word for spirit are the exact same word. Same word. So what it's saying is the Holy Spirit is inside these words. This is not some dusty old book written by dead authors who've been gone for hundreds of years. No, no, no. This book is alive, living, and active. I've always loved how A.W. Tozer explains it. He basically says it's not that God spoke like years and years ago. No, no, no. But right now, through his word, God is still speaking. If we're willing to listen. Back to verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, obviously, this book is not going to give you step-by-step process of how to fix your leaky faucet. You can look all through this book, and it's not going to give you directions on how to change the oil in your car. No, for that, you need, a good dad. Or nowadays, we would say a YouTube video. That works pretty good too. But friends, when it comes to issues of the heart, when it comes to the soul, the most important part of who you are, when it comes to your character, how to be a good spouse, how to be a good parent, a good leader, a good friend, a good human being, when it comes to living a life of eternal significance, I'm telling you guys, it says this book will help you to be fully equipped for everything you're going to face. Whatever life decision on the road ahead will bring, you're going to be equipped and ready. But listen, I hate to tell you, there's also a danger. Beware, there is a danger. Because for the past 2,000 years, there have been those who have twisted the Bible. It has been misused and misunderstood and misquoted. Every cult leader, every false prophet that has ever led people astray for the past 2,000 years has actually used scripture to support their lies. Think about this. Even Satan, when he tempted Jesus there in the wilderness, what did he do? He quoted the Bible out of context in an attempt to deceive the Savior from fulfilling his divine calling. Therefore, to follow Jesus, here's what the wise and discerning follower of Jesus needs to know. Number two, God's path never contradicts his revealed plan. God's path never contradicts his revealed plan. Now, this is very important, so I'm going to slow down and explain these terms so I'm very clear what I'm trying to say here, okay? So God's plan means his revealed word, the Bible. Scripture explains God's word for us. It shows us what is true. It shows us what matters most in this life. It lays out the law, God's boundaries, his plan for life. It clearly defines for us things that are sin and rebellion against God and things that are good and holy and right. And then when I say path, by that I mean the path, that's the everyday decisions that come to us throughout life. You know, should I date that girl? Should I take that job? Should I buy that new car? But church, the most ideal path in this life is never going to contradict God's plan found in Scripture. And listen, if the path that I am on is in direct opposition to the Bible, I don't change the Bible to align with my opinion. No, no, no. I change myself to align with God's word. But I got to tell you, as a pastor, it just boggles my mind and breaks my heart how many times I see a disconnect. Because I, as a pastor, I just watch as someone gives their life to Christ and they get baptized and they're just so excited about their faith and they're like, man, I want to grow. I want to follow Jesus. This is so huge. And then they proceed to totally ignore the roadmap that he gave us. You're like, dude, what are you doing? Imagine, for example, let's say there's this young man who's trying to follow God. He's trying to grow in his faith, and so he's praying. He's coming to church and that kind of thing. And at the same time, he's got a very serious girlfriend. And so he prays. He heard in church, you should pray about these things. So he prays, God, should I marry this girl? You know, is that the wise thing to do? Is she the one, God? But I wonder, without condemnation, I wonder if our good, loving Heavenly Father will pull him aside and say, I got a question for you first. Are you following my boundaries for relationships? Before I give you all the specifics, are you listening to the plan I already gave you? And again, God's like, God understands. He knows we want to know the specifics. We worry so much about the specifics because we don't want to make a mistake. We don't want to live in regret. And God loves us. He's like, absolutely, I want you to experience the good life, the blessed life. And that is why I gave you this navigational tool that leads right to that destination, but you're not even looking at it. Beloved, God's best path is never going to contradict his plan. You know, back in week one, if you were with us, we were talking about God's will. And we were talking about how intimidating and scary that can be. Like, oh man, the will of God. What is the will of God? How do I find the will of God? It sounds confusing and unknowable. But friends, relax. For the most part, God's will is not a mystery. You can read all about it in the Bible. In places like 1 Thessalonians, it's very clear. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. This is why I don't do a lot of counseling. People come into me, they're like, oh, pastor, what is God's will? I'm like, well, let's read about it. Here it is, God's will. You should be sanctified. And they never come back to see me again. Like, that's not what I wanted to know. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, that's God's will for your life. That's the plan. This is his will. And again, be sanctified, if you don't know, that means to become holy. It means to be more like Jesus. Flee sin and selfishness and start to live a life of love and goodness and service and generosity. Again, guys, it's not a mystery. It's not hidden. It's already been written down for us in black and white long before you and I were born. Here's God's will. And his word is the first and best tool in finding that destination of his will. But as I said, us church people, we come up with weird stuff. And we like to misuse God's holy word in strange ways. And so, I don't know if you've ever seen this, or maybe you've done this, and I don't mean to step on your toes, so, you know, grace, I'm not trying to pick on you. But sometimes people, when they want to know a decision, you know, they're praying like, God, what should I do? You know, give me a sign, tell me what to do. And so what they do is they, like, take their Bible, and they flip it open, and they, you know, go through a couple page flips, and then they point their finger, and they're like, okay, God, whatever this says, this must be your word for me. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you know some friends who know that. But I'm just going to be clear. That's a terrible idea. Don't do that. Because, think about it. God is like, I'm telling you, I'm explaining in simple English, here's what you should do, but you're using my word like a magic eight ball. Or worse yet, like divination, like a Ouija board or something. And I'm telling you, you may not like the answers that you find if you try to misuse the Bible in that way. So let's just pretend, for instance, that you're a preacher. I can pretend this. Let's say you're behind on your message, and you're like, God, what should I preach this week? And what do you want me to talk about? And I've been there before. I can relate to that. So you're just praying, God, what should I preach? And so you're like, okay, I shouldn't do this, but I'll try. And so you take the Bible, you close your eyes, and you flip it open, and you point, and it comes to Job 16. Will your long-winded speeches never end? That can't be right. So you flip over a page, try it again. Job 13, if only you would be altogether silent. For you, that would be wisdom. Oh, man. Or maybe let's say you're a young man, you're a young businessman, and you're like, you know, you've been trying to follow God, but now you're in a new season of life, so you're like, God, I need your guidance, I need your direction. What is it that you want me to do? Tell me anything, God, and I'll do it. But you don't feel like you're hearing from God, so you're like, okay, I'll try it. And you close your eyes and flip open the Bible and point, and it comes to Leviticus 14. On the seventh day, he must shave off all his hair. He must shave his head, his beard, his eyebrows, and all the rest of his hair. No, that can't be it, God. I must have that wrong. God, is this really what you want me to shave my hair? That can't be what you want, God. So you flip and try it again. It comes to Luke chapter 10. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Oh, no. One more try. Just in case. Just to be clear. One more try. Flip, and it comes to John 13. Whatever you're about to do, do it quickly. Oh, man. I could keep this illustration going all day long and have lots of fun, but I should stop. I should stop. So maybe you're wondering, okay, well, what are some tools that I can use to help me figure this out? What tools can I use to, if I want to know, what does God's word say on a specific subject, what can I do? Well, one of them, you could get yourself a topical index or a Bible concordance. They're pretty inexpensive. Or if you want free, you can get online and go to websites like Bible Gateway, Blue Letter Bible, Open Bible. These can help you search by a subject. But you know what would be even better? What would be even better would be to regularly study the Bible week after week, year after year. So that God's word, God's plan for life becomes just embedded in our hearts and in our minds. It just becomes second nature. I mean, think about this. This would be kind of like two guys, they heard about this awesome lake that just has amazing fishing, and they're like, oh man, it's kind of hidden though, and they're like, we need to go find that lake this weekend. And so one guy, he goes and he buys a topographical map, and he asks around, he finds out where that lake is, and he spends the whole week studying the map and just poring over it and saying, okay, I need to follow this trail, and then I need to go down there in this gully, and he figures out where he needs to go, and he just keeps studying and studying and studying. And then the other guy, he decides, you know what, I'm just gonna wing it. I'll just go out in the woods and I'll follow my heart and I'm sure I'll figure out where it is. Well, which of the two guys do you think is going to find the lake? Obviously, the guy who studied the map. And so, friends, as we study, we start to discover this is God's perfect plan. And so again, maybe this morning you're still checking out the whole Jesus thing, and I'm so glad that you're here. But if this morning, like me, you would say, I am a follower of Jesus, we open God's word, and it's like, here's what you got to do to follow me. There are commands. This is how I want you to live your life. These verses are places like 1 Thessalonians 5 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Or in 1 Corinthians, it says this, flee from sexual immorality. And again, you don't have to wonder, what do you want me to do? God's word is clear, sometimes painfully clear. It's not that we don't know what to do, we just need to set aside our pride and follow his plan. But you know, other times we're trying to make a decision. And it's not like a sin thing, right? It's not like we're being tempted like, ooh, do the right thing or do the sinful thing. Sometimes it seems like we have two good options. Like maybe you're in college and you need a part-time job during the night and that kind of thing, and you've got some experience being a waiter, so you put out some applications, and you have the options. I could be a waiter at Red Lobster, or I could be a waiter at Olive Garden. And friends, in the moments like that, instead of particulars, what we're looking for guidance is principles. Principles. In fact, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. We chart our course by unchanging principles. Because you see, sometimes what we need, we don't need like a specific, definite answer to a specific situation, but rather what we need are these overarching principles that can help us to make wise, God-honoring decisions in whatever choice lay before us. As an older, wiser pastor once said, a principle is different than a command because a command can be obeyed or disobeyed, but a principle just happens whether you want to or not. It's like the laws of physics, like gravity. If you kick a soccer ball up in the air, eventually it's going to come down. You may wish it would just keep going up and up, but it's not going to happen. It will go back to earth. Whether you like it or not, it just will. It's a law of nature. So these principles of how life works, again, these are all over Scripture. You can read them in places like Proverbs chapter 22, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Or Proverbs 11, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Or Romans chapter 5, we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So again, in all these scenarios, it's not like one option is a sin option. No, we're not talking about a thou shalt or thou shalt not kind of situation. These things are just the laws of reality. And either you can benefit from them or you can suffer under them. But like it or not, they're just true. And these overarching principles, man, they were true for Abraham and Moses and David. They were true for Peter and Paul. They were true for Augustine and Patrick and Luther and Wesley. They were true 5,000 years ago. And if the Lord tarries, they will still be true 5,000 years from today. Because God's perfect word never changes. You can count on it. Psalm 119:89 says, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Isaiah 40 says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Jesus once said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Beloved, we can count on God's unchanging word. Now, I'm basically out of time, so it's time for me to try to land the plane. So here we go. So I have always had this kind of romantic, idealized fascination with the golden age of sail from the 15th through the 19th centuries, back in the day when there were courageous men who ventured on tall ships into dangerous and uncharted waters. Actually, for Christmas this year, Amber got me some C.S. Forrester novels, which is about that kind of Napoleonic era, which I really have enjoyed. But sadly, I discovered while reading them that if you were going to be a navigator back in those days, you had to be really good at math or trigonometry. So I was like, oh man, there go all my dreams of becoming a Napoleonic era captain. So there goes that dream. But friends, think about this for a moment. Long before there was GPS, long before, you know, there were satellites and radio transmitters and that kind of thing, how in the world could you hope to navigate those massive oceans? I mean, you get out in the thousands and thousands of miles out in the middle of the water, you look around, there's nothing but ocean as far as the eye can see. There's no roads, there's no landmarks. How in the world are you supposed to know where you are and where you're going? Well, friends, for thousands of years, the ancients, the Persians, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Aztecs, they have been studying the heavens, carefully charting and cataloging the predictable rhythms of the celestial bodies, the precise order of the sun and moon and stars that always go in the same pattern. I remember years ago learning how to find the North Star, that if you find the Big Dipper and there in the front of the pan of the Big Dipper, you follow those two stars and you draw a straight line, and the brightest star in the sky, that's Polaris, that's the North Star. And if ever you're trying to find your way at night, trying to find which way is north, you can trust in this star, because the rest of the stars might shift around depending on the year, but the North Star, Polaris, always stays constant and true. It can guide you, leading you to your destination. And so for hundreds of years, people had to navigate at night to use the stars. But then by the time you get to like the Napoleonic era, they had tools like this one right here, the sextant. And so this is a little cheap Hobby Lobby version. But what you do with this tool is when the sun reaches its zenith, which is the highest point that it's going to reach, what you can do is you look through this scope, and it's got this split view, and on the left-hand side is just a window. You can look right there and line it up at the horizon, and then on the right-hand side, there's this series of mirrors that you can use to connect with the sun, and so you have this dual image, and you get the horizon and the sun to line up perfectly together, and whatever degree is on your device, you match that up with the calendar date. You got to know the calendar, but putting those things together, you can figure out your exact longitude, or excuse me, your exact latitude, your latitude. And again, for those of us not great at trigonometry, it might be a struggle. But that doesn't mean it's not there. It is a mathematical certainty. That which is unknown can be discovered when measured against a known constant. Another great tool that REI says you should carry in your backpack is this one, a compass. Because again, in the middle of the night or when you can't see your way ahead, when you get all turned around, the compass always points in the same direction. I love this quote found in the Wilderness Navigation Handbook. It says, "If in doubt, trust your compass. The compass correctly used is almost always right, while your contrary judgment may be clouded by fatigue, confusion, or hurry. Trust your compass over hunches, blind guesses, and intuition." So, beloved, here it is. The heavens above do not change. They are steadfast and unwavering. And even when dark clouds cover up the sky, even when the stormy sea tosses us and turns us and blinds us to our way ahead, here's the truth. Your tools can tell you where you are and where you're headed. But you know what, friends? There's one thing those tools cannot do, and that is steer the ship. God has entrusted you by putting you at the helm of the ship. The rudder's in your hands. So we can choose to follow our feelings. We can allow the circumstances we're in. We can allow the personal opinions or the voices all around us. We can allow them to steer us, and we can be steered away by those deceptive appetites or the dangers that seem all around us. And most likely, if we follow those, we're going to get terribly lost or crash against a reef. Or friends, we could instead chart our course by the unchanging principles set in the heavens above and allow them to guide us straight and true into that safe harbor that we long to see. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. And Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your word. God, how we take it for granted. How we ignore it. And here it is. You're showing us. You've revealed who you are. You've revealed what matters most. You've revealed the way to life through your word. And Lord, we've ignored it. So Lord, forgive us that we've ignored it. And we just want to thank you so much for it. And instead, we want to pay attention. Lord, we confess and repent that we've tried to do it our own way. We've tried to find the path just listening to our heart or whatever. But God, from this day forward, I pray that you would help us to listen to your unchanging word, those unchanging principles, and we would allow those truths to guide us to that harbor that you're leading us to. We love you, Jesus. Give us the courage to follow you. We pray these things in your mighty name, and all God's people agreed together and said, Amen. Amen.